Hello and welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. This is episode 63. Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. My name's Wendy, and this podcast will help you invest in houses of multiple occupation. Today, I wanted to talk about finding deals. Recently, I've been speaking to quite a few of my clients, my mentoring clients, and it has to be said that many of them are struggling to find good deals. Now, if you've just started investing in HMOs, you might be looking around at the market and feeling exactly the same yourself and wondering, where are all these amazing properties that used to be available but are no longer sitting on the market ready to be bought? Well, it's a bit of a myth to think that, you know, there's always been this kind of amazing glut of fantastic properties to buy. Certainly, there have been times over the last 10 years where buyers have had the opportunity to have lots of choice in the market because sellers have been wanting to sell. And obviously, this tends to happen at different times in the economic cycle. Sometimes it happens when people have seen the value of their property increase, and so they think, I'll capitalize on that and put it on the market. Other times it's because they are downsizing and perhaps they're worried about the economy, so they want a house that's a little bit more easy to manage and a bit more, you know, cheaper to run. So they decide to sell the property and, you know, cash in and downsize. It's very hard to predict at what point in the economic cycle more properties come onto the market. One of the factors that, of course, we have to consider is the continued growth in the population of the UK. The fact that we are still continuing to see quite a lot of immigration, people still see the UK as a safe place to live with lots of benefits, and I don't blame them, apart from the climate, of course, which is, you know, not always the best, particularly here in the northwest of England. But nevertheless, in many other ways, the UK is a fantastic place to live, particularly when you consider that your other option might be war-torn Ukraine or parts of Africa. All parts of the Middle East. So that, of course, adds to the growth of the population. And alongside that, of course, we're seeing population growth generally anyway. And therefore, more houses are needed to be able to house a bigger population. But those houses are not being built. So, of course, this means the natural laws of supply and demand are at work. We have less supply and we have more demand. So therefore, prices are going to go up. Now, of course, that's against the backdrop of COVID and the huge amount of government debt that's been pumped into the system, the amount of borrowing that has taken place. And this, of course, has led to inflation. And so what we're also seeing is a rise in prices. So you're there sitting doing your maths on your deal and you're wondering, how on earth can I find an HMO that's going to give me a good return, when maybe your area room rents are between £500 and £600 a month? You're also worried about the cost of other services like gas and electricity and utilities, which, you know, energy prices are rising. And you might be thinking, well, unless I can get a property at a really good price, there's just no point doing this. So what I wanted to talk to you about today was to give you some ways in which you can find those deals. It's true to say that the whole value of the property market has risen over the last 2 years as a reaction, I think, to COVID, but also as a reaction to those other measures that I've mentioned. So you're going to be buying a property that probably is going to be 10% or more higher than it would have been had you bought it 2 years ago. And I think we've just got to accept that fact. You know, I would love to be able to buy property that today from 1990 prices. Who wouldn't? My first rental property that I bought was in 1996 and it was £48,000. That was a four-bed semi. Now, in this day and age, you know, you really wouldn't even probably find a flat, a one-bed flat or a studio flat for £48,000. So we can see that generally property prices have gone up. You know, this is the general path, the general trend that property prices tend to take. So it just so happens that right now you are looking at a time when prices have gone through a pretty steep incline over the last couple of years, and you're jumping in and trying to find the right property to buy. But the good news is that in my experience, rents often follow that trajectory. So when property prices go up, it's not long after that the average rental price goes up. again, let's look at the market. Let's look at the facts. We know that across the UK, agencies, rental agencies, letting agencies are reporting that A, they haven't got enough stock to rent out, and B, rental prices are at an all-time high. It means that we have to adjust our figures, we have to adjust our thinking, and it means that you're going to have to take on board some of these actions, which I'm going to share with you today, to enable you to be fast, to be efficient, and to nab that deal. So let me just share with you some of the things I've learned in getting deals when times were tough and when times were easier. One of the things that we've got to remember is that property prices, yes, they tend to go up generally over time, but of course they ebb and flow. So if we go into a recession later this year, which is possible, possibly probable, it might be that some property prices may step back a little bit, and we might find that rather than buying a property at £160,000, you can get it for £150,000. But it's not likely you're going to buy it at £90,000. That is unless we face such a recession that houses start to be repossessed. Now, that's a very interesting question, and perhaps later on in the year we can have a look at that and see what causes repossessions to happen. Banks are much less likely to repossess properties nowadays. They don't like to repossess. There is a general feeling in the industry that, you know, repossession is the absolute last straw, and many companies don't want to repossess because it gives them a bad reputation. And they want to work with the person who's living there to be able to help them to manage their mortgage repayments and maybe put them on a payment plan or to help them restructure their debt so that it is still affordable. Because it's a headache, it's an administrative headache to repossess a property. Having said that, there will be people who over the next few months will struggle with the payment of their mortgage, with the energy bills going up and other costs, inflationary costs going up. And I think we're going to start to see more and more people struggling. Now, what does this mean? It means that you have an opportunity. And I'm not trying to suggest that we take advantage of people who are struggling. I actually believe that a good deal is one that meets the needs of the person who's making the deal and the one who's receiving the deal. It's a deal. That means it needs to be both parties that think it's a deal. And if you are somebody who's struggling to pay your energy costs, your gas and electricity bills have gone up, perhaps you're also finding that the general cost of living, food and fuel for your car has increased, and you perhaps bought this property a few years ago and your income seemed to cover all your costs, but now you're just finding things are too tight and there's more month than money. Wouldn't you like it if somebody very confidentially, very subtly, very nicely and kindly helped you to sell your property without being any fuss or bother, and perhaps did it without you having to go to an estate agent? How many of those people do you think there might be in your local area? How many of those kinds of families might there be over the next few weeks and months that you could potentially help? But the problem is they don't know anything about you because you haven't told them who you are. You haven't done any social media. You haven't done any leafleting. You haven't put any adverts in local papers. You haven't stuck a letter through their door. So they don't know who on earth you are. And you don't know who they are. And it might take time to do this. And that's very often where people fall down, is that it takes repeated efforts to make people know who you are and that you're looking for a deal. So that's the first thing, is to never stop marketing. Never stop telling the world who you are and what you're doing. Because it's very often the fifth or the sixth time of doing those leaflet campaigns, of writing those letters, of putting up those billboards, that somebody takes notice. So deals are out there. And deals are deals that are made between people. So although the property is what you're looking for, actually what the person is looking for is somebody who's trustworthy, who can be confidential, who can make it happen, who's not scared, who doesn't shirk when there's maybe a problem with the owner's debt. Maybe they've got other debt that they need to pay off as a result of selling the house. If you're not scared and you can address those issues with that person, they'll trust you. They'll want to work with you. Second point, buying a property on the market. So let's imagine you found something that is on the market. Let's say just on a Rightmove, you know, Rightmove or Zoopla or one of those portals. One other mistake that I often see people making is trying to negotiate down too far, when in fact, the time it's going to take to transact that conveyance for that particular property is probably going to take 4 or 5 months. We know at the moment that conveyancing is extremely long-winded. We ourselves bought a block of flats. We had the offer accepted in February and we only got the keys last week. So what's that, February, March, April, May, June, July, August? That's just 6 months it's taken. And nobody had to move out. Nobody had to move in. It was a fairly straightforward transaction. And yet still, it took 6 months for that to go through. Now, if that's us and we have our paperwork in place, we have our mortgage offer in place, we have all of the, you know, we're working basically full time to buy property. If that's us, how long does it take other people who are also working and have got other commitments? Much longer is the answer. Now, in 6 months' time, how much could that property be worth? Particularly if we see increased prices, inflationary rates continue to rise. It's probably going to be worth at least another £5,000 and it might be worth another £10,000. So by the time you actually pick up the keys, that property could be worth a lot more than you paid for it. If you're haggling down the price now, you're losing a lot of deals because there are other people who are prepared to pay market price on the knowledge, on the basis that that property is going to be worth more by the time they get the keys. You've probably heard the phrase, you can cut off your nose to spite your face. And I do see people still trying to get below market value deals without understanding the economy, without understanding the cycle and the part of that cycle we're in right now. I actually think the block of flats that we bought, we did buy below market value because by the time we've actually bought it, it's probably worth another £20,000. Whereas when we bought it, we actually paid above the asking price. So it's something to think about. Number three, when we are in a fast-paced market like we are now, you have to be a quick decision maker. Now, this, of course, comes with risk. And I wouldn't ever suggest that you become a motivated buyer. That's dangerous. You have to do your maths. You have to check out the project. You have to make sure that you understand what the cost of the refurb is going to be and all the other costs. But whatever you do, do not pay over the odds. Now, you may think, well, that contradicts what you just said, Wendy. And I understand why you might think that. But in that deal that we did with our block of flats, we were also looking at the future value of the rent because all the four flats are rented at the moment, but we know they are under rented. We think all of those rents could probably be double what they are right now. So when we did our spreadsheet, when we did our cost analysis, our return on investment, we knew that actually there was a lot of value that was locked up in that deal that needed to be unlocked. The other aspect of it was that there is a piece of land at the back which is currently rented out, and that wasn't included in the estate agent calculations. There are garages on the site which are not rented out. There is an area of land that we think we could redevelop. So that has value potential as well once we get planning permission on it. So this particular deal offers a lot of scope for growth, a lot of scope for extra income, a lot of scope for maximisation. And that's a really important part of consideration when you're buying a deal. If you're buying a property that has very little land or has very little scope for development, then of course you've got to be very careful about how much you pay for it because you can't add any value. But if you're buying a plot of land that's maybe got, or maybe a house, for example, that's got a side garden that could be developed, or a garage that you could build on top of, or a loft that could be converted, you've got potential within that property that probably other people can't see. And the fact that you can see it, you can maximise on it. One of the major interest that I have in property, and one of the reasons why I'm really excited about it as a as an asset, is because it so closely works with the money system. What I mean by that is that you can leverage real estate. There are many assets that you can buy that you can't leverage. In other words, you can't get lending in order to buy them, but you can with real estate. Now, this is a huge benefit because as the inflation rate rises and the value of the pound decreases, the currency effectively decreases in value, your debt also decreases in nominal terms. So what that means is that because your house is going up in value, the value of the debt against that property is going down in value. Imagine this, the house that I bought in 1996 for £48,000, I put down, I think it was £25,000. So at that time, it was nearly a 50% deposit, and then I borrowed the rest of the money. Now, that house is worth probably 10 times what I paid for it then. No, perhaps not 10 times, maybe 5 times actually. It's probably worth about £230,000, let's say. If I had kept that original loan of £25,000, you can see what a small amount that is compared to the overall value of the property. That is now worth a tenth of the overall value of the house. And it's such a small amount that, you know, in another 10 years' time, we might say, well, it's such a small amount, we'll just pay it off with one payment. We can, because in 10 years' time, £25,000 would be a very small amount. It still seems like quite a lot of money today. It seemed a lot of money way back in 1996. But in 10 years' time, it might seem like £10,000 today. Now, because of that, you have this incredible ability without doing anything. This takes none of your time, none of your effort, because the government and the fiat money system do this automatically for you. This is a gift for you because you've decided to invest in a category of asset that can be leveraged. And there is a whole banking system behind that leverage that wants you to borrow money, that wants you to leverage. Now, of course, this comes with some big ethical questions, because as we grow richer through our assets and we leverage and the value of our debt reduces and effectively our assets go up in value and we have borrowed money to do this, we get richer by doing no more. Yes, you might have managed the property. Yes, you'll have to meet housing standards and all the other regulations that come with being a landlord these days. And certainly, you're going to have to collect the rent. You're going to have to sit within the law, etc., etc. But for people who don't know how to do this, they haven't got that background benefit, which is why I recommend that everybody invest in property, because I think it's such an incredible, valuable asset. And I really want people to understand what's going on behind the scenes to make it possible for them to do this. And the reason why I say it's an ethical question is because those people who haven't got assets, they are really being clobbered, because as inflation bites, their money now gives them 10% less than it did a year ago because of inflation. And in another year, it will buy them 18% less than they can buy last year. So for poor people who don't have assets, it's a terrible thing. Inflation is an awful thing. But for rich people who have assets, it's a modern miracle. So I really believe that if you want to get into HMOs and you want to buy and you want to find deals, it's very important to have this money mindset. Because it's very easy to think small. It's very easy to think, well, I've got to have an HMO that's going to give me, let's say, £1,000 a month cash flow. But you're looking at rents today. You're not thinking about rents tomorrow. You're thinking about the price of the refurb today. You're not thinking about the price of the refurb tomorrow. And given the time value of money, it's so important that you do consider the time aspect of money in what you're doing today. So I hope that this gives you some inspiration to carry on looking for deals, to go out there to find the deals, to meet the people who need you to buy their house, who need you to change their life, because you are in the right place, in the right position to be able to go ahead and do that deal. Good luck. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System.
We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.